Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today we've got a lot of emails that we're going to be talking about, plus we're going to be doing the raffle, and producer Amanda and I are going to be discussing other circus train wrecks. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Rebecca.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. It's going good. You know, they're saying California is going to be rolled back into the strictest tier of COVID restrictions. So I'm just kind of bracing myself, honestly, even though it's not, I'm home all the time anyway. It doesn't change anything for me, but it's just, they keep saying it's going to be a dark winter.
That's a sad image. But you're right. It's like we're not really going anywhere anyway. And they did say that there's going to be a curfew.
Did you hear about that? That's kind of crazy, right? Because when's the last time you've been out past 10 anyway?
It's probably been since 2013.
Yeah. Because even though we've seen each other a few times in a backyard, like very distance, I don't think we stay out past 10.
No. Because, you know, you got to be home for when you turn into a pumpkin.
At 10 p.m., not even midnight.
I'm not looking forward to this, you know, impending doom. But it's a good excuse to catch up on history.
Well, that's for sure. And I have to say, like, I just did a quick Google and I am really shocked by how many circus train wrecks there are. There seem to be hundreds of these.
It seems to have started in 1877. I'm seeing here that there was a P.T. Barnum Great Traveling Exposition train wreck that happened in Iowa in August 29th of 1877, where six were killed. Mm. So I'm assuming this is when trains start, you know, jumping and jiving. This is when the trains are really rocking and rolling.
Yeah, really.
And it makes sense that the P.T. Barnum, you know, and co people would be one of the first to get their circus onto a rail car, mm-hmm, because they were already very popular.
Right. And I'm seeing here, I think that they've actually had a couple of train wrecks. P.T. Barnum had a few.
They did.
Yeah. So I've just found one here that happened in 1889 in Potsdam.
Oh, wow. So that's just 2 years later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This looks like a pretty bad one. So this one says, do you want me to just like read through this a little bit?
Yeah.
It says, on the 130 years ago, can't do the math on that, Barnum and Bailey's circus made an unexpected stop in Potsdam. Three circus trains were traveling from Gouverneur, where the circus had performed, to Montreal, where it was scheduled. The first train passed through Potsdam at about 9 p.m., with others following a few minutes behind. Just as the second train approached the crossing between Potsdam and Norwood, it was known as Clark's Crossing, an axle on a car near the engine broke. The result was a spectacular and brutal scene. Six train cars smashed and piled on one another. Injured animals trapped amid the wreckage and their dead companions cried out in pain. By the light of bonfires built alongside the wreck, those on the third train, including the owners, worked through the night to free the animals and their attendants. And it had more, it had a crowd of 2,000 spectators, but it doesn't seem like they had a fire. So this is actually kind of interesting, because the Hammond train wreck could be more like this train wreck if it weren't for the oil lamps.
That's true. The fire really put it over the edge, sadly. But that sounds like a pretty bad one. And this is around the start of when these circuses are traveling. I mean, I would just be so scared if I was working in a circus and I just heard that these were, that this was very, it was commonplace.
But I think
these accidents.
The other thing we have to remember is, in the context of transportation at large at the time, I think even car travel was highly, highly dangerous. But this is pre-cars, right? Cars.
This is pre-car, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Cars came out with The Great Gatsby. No, I'm kidding. I think it was like early 1900s.
But like all transportation was really dangerous.
Wagon. Before this, they traveled by wagon, and it was just slow. Imagine that.
Yeah, and I bet wagons had their own issues.
Yeah, I'm sure a wagon lost its wheel. I'm sure you could have gotten lost. I mean, you were exposed to the elements. We all know what happened to those people in the Donner Party.
Right.
I'm assuming the circus had kind of like routes that they always took for their regular shows, so they could like kind of station up. But so it starts happening in the, you know, mid to late 1800s. And it looks like, I mean, I'm just scrolling through this list. A lot of the accidents happened between 78 and 90, you know, 3 or whatever. I mean, I'm seeing like almost 30 accidents happened.
Oh, like into the 90s?
Into the 1890s.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I'm seeing here the last one on the list is in 1994 in Florida.
Ooh, what happened there? 2 killed. Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus. Wow. Well, as I was scrolling through this list, though, you know, you see the Hagenbeck-Wallace Circus multiple times, but one that really caught my attention was the Carl Hagenbeck Circus, which had an accident on October 25th, 1906, before it was purchased by the Wallace Circus. And I kind of clicked on him, and we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about Carl Hagenbeck, which seems to be a very interesting person. So he was German, and he was a merchant of wild animals. So when Hagenbeck was 14, his father gave him some seals and a polar bear.
Fun gift. 14. Jeez.
I do love seals, Amanda, so my birthday's coming up in January.
Well, maybe I could like look into an adopt-a-seal program or something.
Sure, I would like that. So his collection of animals grows so much that he needs a large building to keep them in. Then Hagenbeck leaves his home in Hamburg to go to the hunters and explorers to the jungle and snow-clad mountains, and he captures animals in nearly every land in the world. Then, in 1874, he decides to exhibit Samoan and Sami people.
As
purely natural, quote, purely natural populations, with their tents, weapons, sleds, aside a group of reindeer. So, oh God, this is going into weird territory.
Well, that is so crazy though, because back then, like, that was at the World's Fair. They would just like fly in people from around the world and be like, behold this exotic person, because you couldn't travel back then and you couldn't just watch a YouTube video.
No YouTube. This was their YouTube.
Yeah.
Then he starts wanting to exhibit these animals all over Europe and the United States. And he was trained animal. He trained animals to display and sell to circuses. So now he's like making a business off of it. And he comes to the United States, and Hagenbeck's circus was one of the most popular attractions. His collection included large animals and reptiles. Many of the animals were trained to do tricks. He crossbred in 1900 a female lion with a Bengal tiger and sold the hybrid for $2 million. I mean, this is in 1900. $2 million to a Portuguese zoologist. And so all of his animals are you know, performing all over the United States. Okay, so this is what's cool. However, Hagenbeck dreamed of a permanent exhibit where animals could live in surroundings much like their natural homes. Despite the presence of the Zoological Garden of Hamburg, Hagenbeck opened his great zoo, the Tierpark Hagenbeck, at Stellingen near Hamburg in 1907. He supervised the building of the of other ones, and you know, he was kind of like one of the first people. What is the one called in Disney where you kind of drive through? It's Disney Safari.
It's the Wild Animal Park. Have you been to it?
Never.
Oh, it's my favorite theme park. It's my second favorite theme park I've ever been to.
My third.
Maybe my fourth. It's my fourth. My first is a Tokyo Disney Sea.
Sea?
Sea, like S-E-A, and it's their, you know how we have a California Adventure out here? It's sort of their secondary park, and it's amazing. You walk in, it looks like you're in Game of Thrones. It's on the water. It's just the most spectacular setting you've ever seen.
That sounds awesome. I thought you were saying like a SeaWorld type, that you were like a huge fan of SeaWorld.
I love SeaWorld. It's my favorite thing to do. It's how I relax. I have a season pass. I just go by myself.
I think SeaWorld's been canceled.
I think it has. Oh, that would be a good, like, who's to blame for Shamu or something.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to put that on the list. But that's so cool that they do, like, a sea-themed
it's
theme park.
Really, really cool. But then the Wild Animal Park is awesome as well. And that's in Florida, of course. And, yeah, they have a safari where you can drive through. And it's essentially like San Diego has one as well. Like this, I think it's the San Diego Wild Animal Park, where it's less like a zoo where animals are, you know, crunched into cages. And it's more supposed to be like, this is open and they're happy. And so while I'm still jury's out on zoos in general, for me, it is, you know, it's better at least than your typical zoo.
Yeah, there's still a lot that can go wrong, though, when you're in one of those driving zoos. That's all I can think about.
Really? So would you ever go on an African safari?
I don't think I'll ever make it.
It's not on the bucket list.
No. Do you wanna? I mean,
yeah, it's kind of on my bucket list. I just think it'd be really cool.
We'll take a lot of pictures and send them to me.
I'll live stream you.
That'll be cool. So, yeah, it was interesting to find out that he was one of the first to kind of come up with that idea. I guess there was one already, but I thought Walt Disney came up with the idea.
You thought Walt Disney, yeah, invented the zoo?
No, the driving, like, you know, yes. Interactive.
Yeah.
We still don't have one of those for the sea, right? It's called scuba diving.
Yeah,
it's called scuba diving.
Scuba diving. Yeah, I guess that's what it would be.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
So you said you had found another interesting circus wreck that you wanted to talk about.
Well, this one I thought was really interesting because you know how you talked in the after the Hammond circus wreck about how people swore that they heard the ghostly wails of animals?
Yes.
So this, I think, is a train wreck where, unfortunately, it was the cars carrying the animals that was wrecked. So I'm just going to read from livescience.com real quick. Just before dawn on May 30th, 1893, the Walter L. Main circus train carrying dozens of animals and performers ran off the tracks in an epic crash in central Pennsylvania. The first car to go off the rails held the elephants. The tigers, lions, horses, crocodiles, pythons, and a gorilla known as the Manslayer followed as the Walter L. Main circus train careened off the tracks down a 30-foot-high embankment with gold-gilt steel barred wagons, crashing one on top of the other in the legendary pileup. And this happened in Pennsylvania on Memorial Day, 1893. Today, the story has become ingrained in town lore. Big snakes are eyed with suspicion as possible descendants of escaped crash survivors. Elephants from other traveling circuses have stopped in Tyrone to lay wreaths out of respect for the dead. That makes it sound like the elephants walked there by themselves. Bones, horseshoes, lion cage locks, and railroad spikes have turned up every time a new home is built on the site. But the exact location of the mass grave of dead circus animals has been lost to history. And archaeologists recently made an attempt to find it, but the initial search did not turn up the hoard of bones researchers were looking for. But they're going to keep trying. So that scares me.
It's like an animal graveyard that they're building on top of.
It really is. And the other thing is, after we did the Tuesday's episode, I sort of tried to Google circus curses because I know we were kind of just joking, but I was like, well, this certainly has to be a thing, like the tale of the haunted circus. But I could not find anything.
It feels like it's ripe to be haunted.
I mean,
if the opera has the phantom, like, why can't the circus have the ringmaster?
I know.
The, like, creepy ring. And clowns. Hello.
I mean, circus stuff is definitely scary, but apparently there's no, you know, one singular curse.
They're all cursed because they have to be part of the circus, I guess.
Oh, but they are. Circuses are, like zoos, problematic as well. But there was one other thing I wanted to talk about before we get to the listener emails. But I just quickly did a Google search about train safety. And okay, I just want to give our listeners a little update because I think we've all been sort of, you know, pulling our hair thinking about, like, God, can I ever travel on a train again? But apparently, according to this article, again on Live Science, conventional wisdom holds that the front car of a train is the most dangerous place. in the event of a head-on collision, while the last car is less safe if the train is rear-ended. But in fact, trains are 9 times more likely to derail than to hit another train or car head-on, or to get hit from behind. The administration found that there were about 13,000 derailments from 2005 to 2014, compared with about 1,400 collisions. So apparently, it doesn't really matter where you sit.
You know, it's funny you bring this up, because I think about this all the time on planes. Like, where should I, is it better to be, is it worse to be in first class? Like, if you're in an accident, or is it worse to be in the back or in the middle? I'm not sure. It depends on what the accident is.
Well, of course. Yeah, that is. I know it's not safe to sit next to the wing, which I always end up like on the wing.
Me too. I'm like pretty much like flying, sitting on it. Like, I might as well be outside on flying on the wing.
I know, same. But I bet it's pretty safe probably to sit at the exit door, because then you have, I think you're most likely to die if there's like a fire and you're kind of trapped and can't get out. But
interesting. I had never, you know. Well, anyway, I think about this all the time on airplanes. And also when I lived in New York, I used to think about this with, this is going to get dark, but terrorist attacks when I was riding the subway. What is the least likely cart to get bombed? I'm already set. I'm forgive me for bringing this up.
But I mean,
these are the things that I think about when I get on the subway.
I know. And maybe we can do at some point like a whole episode about like the safest place to be, because or how to handle certain situations.
Oh,
because I'm constantly thinking about and reading about what to do if like a active shooter like statistically is it better. I mean, okay, so there was
what to do
because I was just reading there was a situation in Paris on a train where a terrorist came in, and these three American like men in their 20s just like overtook the guy and I think like totally like disarmed him. And I don't know, have you heard about that? It happened a couple
of years ago.
It's a really cool story. It makes you really feel like patriotic in a way, because they were just these young guys like vacationing in Europe, and they just like totally took down this guy and saved like a bunch of lives.
Wow. And this was on a train.
It was on a train.
Well, I wonder what cart he was in, because I have a theory that the back cart is probably the best one.
Because you think they're kind of coming from the front or something.
Well, if they, I don't even want to say this on.
Okay, let's not get into it.
So morbid. It's too morbid.
Let's stick to the less morbid subject of circus train wrecks.
Oh, and we're going to do the drawing for the get merch giveaway, but you have to wait till the end of the episode. So stay tuned, guys.
What emails do we have, or what have people been saying?
So speaking of trains, we got some messages from, this is from Steel on the Tracks. So sounds like he's a train guy. And he writes, hello, here's my thoughts. So very to the point. The lack of maintenance is truly to blame. He's talking about the Hammond Circus train wreck. The hot box, which is an overheated friction bearing due to the lack of oil, is the original cause. The engineer who allowed the 5 cars to be left on the main line should be slapped. All trains must fit into sidings off the main line. If the train doesn't fit a siding, the other train must be held on a siding or on a double track. All traffic should be halted. So there, for the person or persons to whom maintain and lube the train is at fault, and the circus train engineer should get the slack. Should get the slap. So his point is that we should have put the actual train up on the board, the hot box.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we did put the engineers up on the board.
I don't
know. If I recall.
I Don't know if we did.
Huh. Well, that would be an oversight.
Let me double check my reference list, but I know we put the sleepy guy up on the board.
Yes, yeah, sleepy guy for sure, Alonzo.
I'm not sure we put the train engineer of the Hammond train up.
We put heavy meals, but not the train engineers.
Right. Although I do think we kind of nailed this one because we didn't go with the curse.
So, I mean, I take his point that the hotbox should have been up there. And I definitely think that the engineers who decided to leave the trains on the track, I mean, that was a major faux pas.
It really was. They were just counting their lucky stars or crossing their fingers, hoping that no one fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
Or that no train would appear because, like you mentioned about blind spots, even if he hadn't fallen asleep, something bad still could have happened because of that blind spot.
That's true. Well, I mean, we appreciate it. Steel on the tracks. At Steel on the tracks. But I think we are going to continue to keep the verdict as is. We also had Erica Amber write in. She's a little bit far behind. She's just listened to the Halifax explosion. And she said, "You're right. There's a port pilot in every single port to help the captain sail in. On cruise ships." Oh, she's written in before, and she used to work on a cruise ship. So she's kind of an expert on this. They take a little boat, the pilot boat, that looks like a Coast Guard boat, and they actually board the ship and stay on the bridge with the captain until the ship is safely docked. So this is still practiced. Sometimes in Alaska, when there are really small waterways or national parks, the pilot will stay on board for a few days to make sure that the ship is properly navigating. When we sailed through Iceland and Greenland, we had a specialized ice pilot on board to make sure that we didn't hit any icebergs. So it makes me, I guess, relieved to know that there's a special iceberg guy that goes on these Greenland and Iceland ships. Feels logical. I just love when people use logic. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a good call. And we also had Adam GH write to us on Discord. So that's another place you guys can go to ask us questions and to talk to other Alarmy members about what you're thinking about the episode. And he said, "It's shocking to me that the asleep train conductor got off scot-free in real life, I mean. Do we think there's anything to the fact that the victims were circus folk and justice wasn't served to them for being looked down upon as less than?"
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting. I mean, there's probably something there.
I'm sure, you know, like maybe they would have been, the jury would have been more inclined to convict him if it had been, you know, a train
full of rich,
rich children,
white people,
rich white children, per se. But yeah, I mean, I think people probably did sort of say, like, you know, the circus is kind of a risky lifestyle, so maybe they had less sympathy or something.
That's so sad. Because I kind of see us as we're the circus people of 2020.
Yeah, especially when Amanda. we go take this podcast on tour and we go by train.
Oh my God, why do we have to go by train?
It's just the only thing we can afford.
No!
And it has to be a wooden train.
No!
There's no electricity, so I have to use oil lamps too.
No!
Unfortunately.
Oh, wow. You see, this is why you guys have to go on our Acast supporter feature.
Give us a little tip so we can go by car instead of train. Although I'm sure cars are statistically more dangerous than trains.
That's true. That's true. Right, nowadays. So what do you think? Should we do the drawing?
Yeah. Before we do the drawing, I just want to read a couple of reviews that we've gotten from, I think, people who have entered the drawing. Here's one from SSJN. I look forward to this podcast every week. I came to this podcast via Amanda Lund, The Big Ones, which is my other podcast on the Erios Network, and I love it just as much. Rebecca, Chris, and Amanda are funny, smart, and thoughtful, and I love taking a deep dive into new topics every week. Highly recommend.
Wow, that's so nice. That's like when you meet a friend through another friend and then they become your friend.
Yes, it is. And I think that's so great. Okay, and then who is, here's another one. Just Cute EJ says, can I be a guest? 5 stars. Of all the podcasts I listen to, this is the one I would love to be a part of. I love that their discussions on history are with a twist of humor. I also like their strong opinions. Show suggestion is, who is to blame for the catastrophe at Taliesin Studio? So let me Google this real quick and see what that is, because I've never heard of it.
No, I haven't. But that is such a nice compliment of wanting to be a guest on this show. I love it.
I mean, that is so nice. Let me look. Disaster. So the massacre. Oh, my God. What is this?
What?
The massacre at Frank Lloyd Wright's cottage? His love cottage? There was a grisly mass murder.
Frank Lloyd Wright?
Yeah, there was a grisly mass murder inside the architect's Wisconsin house and studio that took the lives of his mistress and 6 others.
Oh, my goodness. How do we not know about this? Put that on the list, Amanda, ASAP.
Oh my God, we got to expedite this one because I'm fascinated.
Yeah,
this sounds scary.
FedEx that one overnight.
Okay, I will. Put it on right now.
That's so cool. Do we have any other reviews or was that it?
Well, we have a bunch more, so I can't read them all, but that's it for now.
But those are two nice. Those are very nice ones. Now, I want to thank all of our listeners who submitted and wrote reviews and sent me messages. It was very nice to hear from you and to know that you guys have our back, you know, when it comes to all this stuff. And now we're excited to pick the winner of our merch giveaway, who's going to be able to choose whatever merch item they want.
And
Producer Amanda approved.
Okay, I agree. I approve. And also, I just want to let everyone know that Rebecca has literally written all your names down and put them in a physical hat.
And I'll post a picture of me with the stupid hat.
I love it. I was thinking we'd use some sort of app to do this, but I was just so delighted when I saw Rebecca had taken the time.
Yeah, we're old school here. Yeah. History. Come on. Okay, I'm shaking up the hat. I'm sticking my hand in. I'm not looking. I'm closing my eyes. I'm picking out one little piece of paper, and it's for Erin. Erin at ERRO3359. Woohoo!
Yay, Erin! Amazing!
So, Erin, I'll be reaching out to you via Instagram. That's where I think you sent it to us, and we'll let all of our listeners know what Erin chose one of the merch items.
Oh yes, I hope she goes for the touch tool.
I hope she goes for the hat. I mean, I love the hat.
Oh, the hat!
I'm hoping to see it. I want to see it around town.
I do too. The hat is super super cool.
Well, congrats, Erin, and thank you so much to all of our listeners who submitted reviews. But that's all we've got for you guys today. That's what we've got. This is it.
And isn't it enough?
I hope so. I put my heart and soul into this. I hope we're enough. But tune in next week, because we are going to be discussing the death of Princess Diana. And if you're already afraid of going in a vehicle or in a train, now we're going to make you afraid of going in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to miss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.